I'm already having fun.
Oh, shit, I forgot to have fun. When were we supposed to have fun?
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 218. Feverish Fanero and the Spaceman here to keep you straight. Episode 218. Fanero. Oh, man. Well, we're supposed to be good, desirable gentlemen and ask everybody how their Thanksgiving was. Is that what people want?
That's what everybody wants to hear.
What they want to hear?
Yeah. It was a fantastic, relaxing Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Mine was pretty good. It was actually, I was actually talking to Russ Fisher from I don't know how many podcasts Russ even does anymore. He probably isn't even letting to hear this, but I was talking to him, who I know from Trade Addicts, I'll say, and we were talking about Thanksgiving, and I was like, drive was really good. And I was like, wow, it's so sad that my whole holiday is dictated by how good that drive is there and back. And there's a sad truth to that. I'll try to fix that for holidays moving forward. But the drive was amazing. We left on Thanksgiving Day and it was super slow, no traffic. And then we came back the next day when we would usually come back Sunday and traffic is awful both ways because we'll leave Wednesday night and come back Sunday. This time we left Thursday morning, 6 a.m., came back Friday and it was easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
I think that's an age thing as we get older, that the traffic is excellent and makes our holiday. Or do you think do young people think about that?
I don't know. That's a good, because for me, I feel like part of it is how many times I've done the drive. But I mean, every time I do the drive, I'm also older. So it could be age.
Stereotypical dad right there. I think that's like if you think of the stereotype dad, it's like they talk about the ride, like the entire Thanksgiving. They're like, oh, you know, how's your life going? Oh, my drive was phenomenal up here. It was great.
Seriously, Dave, it was awesome.
Legendary drive.
Yes. I didn't leave the in-laws one time the whole time I was there. Other people left. There were times I was there alone.
And, wow.
And it was decent. You know, it might have only been 20 minutes as people were coming and going. But yeah, I mean, what a great opportunity. In that short of a time span, at the in-laws, time alone, and a nice drive. Happy Thanksgiving.
A lot of rookie thinking. A lot of rookie pontification, pondering. Yeah.
Absolutely. With that said, Feverish, we'll throw it at you. You've talked a lot about this. You have more Elijah Moore shares than anybody I know. We got to see some Zach Wilson back in action, and we saw the quick plummet of Elijah Moore, who turned into wide receiver 42 with 9.55 points. By all means, flex-worthy in some of our deeper dynasty leagues, but we don't all play in those leagues. Like, we've been even suggesting him in redraft, like, go get him, and you can start him, which it worked out. The ride was fun, but wide receiver 42, Zach Wilson, a little banged up. Maybe we see some more Joe Flacco.
Well, as you guys know, I was very close to New York this weekend at the Giants-Eagles game, so I had to rewatch this Jets-Houston game. So on the rewatch, I saw one very clear thing about Zach Wilson, and boy, did he have a horrific first half. I mean, it was hard to watch. As a matter of fact, the whole game was pretty difficult to watch. I could not figure out if these were two really good defenses or horrible offenses, and it probably was both. Wilson did seem to kind of get into a groove partway through, I want to say, the third quarter, where I kind of saw what Spaceman was hoping to see from Wilson, some checkdowns, some easy completions. I even saw a little bit of that in the first half, but it was a handful. I mean, I'm talking about 2 to 3, and they seemed like
exceptions. not a handful in a good way.
No, really not. It was just a difficult game. Period. It was very difficult. Elijah Moore once again was the leading target getter for the Jets in receivers, so we have that. The next closest to him was Ryan Griffin with just 4. And interesting enough, Mr. Elijah Moore in a short period of time has 4 rushes for 45 yards and a touchdown. I like him being used, and I know you love that, Swags, as a wide receiver. So there's a little bit of silver lining, but I think a lot of people are going to lump in Elijah Moore is going to be nothing with Zach Wilson, and Zach Wilson is the future of this offense. I think there's a mixture of a couple different things. Zach Wilson was out for a period of time. I think it took him a little while to get into his groove. I think we saw a little bit of that, like I said, in the second half. So I'm going to remain optimistic about both Zach Wilson and the progression for the rest of the season and Elijah Moore. But there are concerns. Definitely there are concerns about how much all this matters without significant improvements from Zach Wilson.
Okay. So who would you take first, Devontae Smith or Elijah Moore today?
I'm still taking Devontae Smith.
Dave, is that where you're at with this?
Yes. I mean, I really like Elijah Moore. They're really close for me and they're in my pre-rankings. I almost don't even like to pick them, like decide between the two. I'd rather have both. I know you can't do that. Well, you can, but I'd rather have both. That's a cop out, though. But yeah, I'd take.
I have both in a few leagues.
You know, if people are worried about Elijah Moore, why shouldn't they be worried about Devonta Smith? By all means, because you picked Devonta Smith, both of you, I'd say reasonably quickly.
We both agree. He was close,
wide receiver 50, 8.2 points. Only targeted 4 times versus Elijah Moore's 8 last week. Turned it into 2 receptions for 22 yards. Hurts is out this week. We don't even really know what the future looks like there in Philly.
Is this a Gardner week?
I hope so.
It could be. I would love to see a Gardner
week. I said that just for you, Swags.
I just want to see it. I do.
You know, it's funny. I had a Gardner Minshew t-shirt on earlier today. Oh, and nice. I took it off just because it feels so, like, in a weird way, out of spirit. But maybe we'll be rocking that next. Man, Finero,
that's so crazy. You wore that t-shirt.
Dress up like Gardner.
I was going to say, I just wore my Gardner wig last night.
Did you seriously? Gosh, that's a joke.
That is a joke.
Kinky stuff. Jeez. Oh,
that was a funny joke.
Swag saw it. I got dressed up.
Oh, my gosh.
I was sexy. I had the headband, that shades.
It was priceless. Yeah. Katie Flower was on that show.
Really? I did that with Katie Flower on the show?
Yeah, and I didn't
so even,
he just showed up. He was totally offline until the start of the show, and then all of a sudden, boom, he'd put the camera on, and it was Gardner Finero.
It feels like a Larry Monkey move. I like it. There's a shout-out to Larry Monkey.
It felt Larry Monkey-ish, actually. Felt very Larry Monkey-ish.
So I'm still taking Elijah Moore in that situation. That debate will at some point come. I don't know. Even just that target share, and
you know, Jalen Hurts.
It wasn't a pretty week 14. For these guys.
I was gonna say, you know, Jalen Hurts completed 14 passes the entire game, right? And 3 of them were straight. 3 were straight in a row to Kenneth Gainwell when Sanders got hurt. That's 3 of the 14. 2 more Devonta Smith. That was a miserable game.
But it sounded like part of your concern with Elijah Moore was the quarterback play.
Yeah, I mean, we're splitting hairs. I'm going to remind you.
It sounded like you just said, that was an excuse for Devonta Smith was the quarterback play.
I have the same concerns about Elijah Moore, to your point. I have equal concerns about the quarterback.
That's kind of where I was going with this.
Yep.
Because you guys were both Devonta Smith quick, like.
But I was quicker than David, and David definitely articulated his struggle. If you go back and listen to the tape.
You guys need buzzers.
Yeah. Quickness is, you got to listen to the nuances in between the quickness, which is little groans. And why is Swags asking another, like, who would you rather have, Jamar Chase or Najee Harris?
Ugh. Oh, man.
Really? You're going to make me do that again?
Yeah.
Next. I just, too, want to say is, like, what about you? For reverse you. No, Swags, it almost seems like it's not close for you, though, with Devonta Smith over Elijah Moore.
He's never liked Smith.
I mean, Elijah Moore over Devonta Smith.
I mean, for me, like, Devonta Smith has done reasonably well we haven't seen that stretch like we just did for Elijah Moore, though, at any point in the season with Devonta Smith. And we just saw it with Elijah Moore. The targets are still there this week. As Fenero just said, like, I haven't really been the voice for Devonta Smith on the show. I'm certainly not going to start now after I don't see what I feel people thought we were going to see year one. And I have my concern still with that quarterback and the team, to be completely honest with you. Mm-hmm.
Same for the Jets.
I have zero Elijah Moore shares. I have a lot of Zach Wilson. So I don't know if there's too much wishful thinking in this because of those shares. But I'm hoping something happens. I think they're going to give Zach Wilson a little bit of time, hopefully, to develop. Maybe an injury happens to Zach Wilson and he gets some time and we see some more Flacco. But I feel like Zach Wilson is in a more secure situation almost than Jalen Hurts right now. So
I could play the reverse argument then, because, you know, if Hurts is on a short leash, and I'm not saying he is, but if he was, the Eagles have tremendous draft capital going into next year if they wanted to go quarterback.
Or if they make a trade for Watson.
Or Watson. Russell Wilson. I know Russell Wilson's not super popular right now, but Russell Wilson, anyone would agree, would be a tremendous upgrade. I think Jalen Hurts' main weakness, by anyone you ask, is throwing the football. That's a pretty large weakness from a quarterback. So, yeah, I think almost any upgrade they made in the offseason would help, where the Jets, I think, would be very, very rare for them to make a decision on Zach Wilson that quickly. So if there is going to be a change, it's going to happen in Eagle land first.
A couple of things to it. It's awful easy to eat. Not that I'm saying it's not well-deserved, but it's awful easy to poo-poo Jalen Hurts after a bad game. He had a string of pretty decent games, at least what people's expectations were.
Going I had into this one. Yep.
So yeah,
he had decent fantasy games, but it hasn't shown up on Devonta Smith's, like, on a very consistent fantasy basis. We've seen flashes of Devonta Smith, and yes, Jalen Hurts has been a valuable fantasy asset, but some of that is because of his run game as well, and that doesn't help Devonta Smith. If that's what we're debating, you know.
Oh,
what
no,
I mean?
No, I'm just trying to say, I like it. This is an easy week to hate on Jalen Hurts, is all I'm trying to say, because he had, it was a bad, bad week. Yeah. Just like hating on Lamar Jackson. It's easy to hate on Lamar Jackson too, after like the four interceptions. Oh, that was a tough Monday night football game to watch, or Sunday night. But, I kind of want to circle back to Elijah Moore, if you guys don't mind, and like, mm-hmm. kind of answer the question you asked to Fenero. I was really excited about this game, and Fenero kind of hinted about it, about better, more catchable dump offs. And that was to Elijah Moore. His A dot was actually the lowest it had been, or the second lowest it had been all game, 6.3 A dot. After guys have mentioned a couple of times about how high it was with Zach Wilson. And it was also the highest target share with Zach Wilson. He had a previous target high of our target share of 24%, but a lot of teens, 124%, but 11%, 18%, 6.5%. Not very good target shares, but then essentially a 35% target share with 8 targets. That's exciting. So it's not the same as it was with Zach Wilson early on. You know what I'm trying to say, guys? It was the better targets. I know they weren't like catchable or whatever, but they were just like not way down the field. They were a little bit more in tune, what made him successful. It didn't pay off, but with the target share, follow the target share, follow the percentage of the offense, the volume. And that's what's exciting about Elijah Moore to me. And season high route participation at 96%. Never had cleared 80. He had an 83% week one. Hadn't cleared that since, but 96%. That's also exciting for a rookie.
I don't think there's any doubt that the guy's earned a role. Let's back to what Swags was saying about that four game run he was on. Like, there's zero concerns about the role. It's just the concerns about getting the football, which is the concerns. You know, when I flopped Waddle and Devonta Smith in my rankings, that was why. You know, Hurts, I think there was one comment where we were flying down the top 12 on a Devonta Smith down week, and all I said was four words: Hurts is the problem. And you know, it continues to be a concern. And that's kind of like how we've started off this show, but I think he's absolutely earned the role, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. And they try desperately to use them. The eight targets that I saw, three of them were completely uncatchable. And the one was practically a catch. It had to be reviewed, and it got overturned. It was called a reception on the field, and after review, they called it back. So the other three, and then the ones that he caught, three of those four were like at his feet. These weren't super catchable balls, which, you know, is has positive and negatives to it, right? You want him to have catchable balls, but at the same time, like, if he has the ability to go down or reach out or, you know, look behind him and catch a ball, it's going to be helpful, kind of like we've seen with Bateman and Lamar Jackson. It's going to help him succeed. But, you know, again, this is a rookie quarterback, and we've had a lot of high hopes on all of these rookie quarterbacks. And besides Mac Jones, pretty much all of them let us down. So, sure. And Wilson just came back from a long period of being out. So to be this reactionary to Wilson is probably unfair. I think we're just dragging in the first part of the season where Elijah Moore wasn't a big part of this offense. Maybe Elijah Moore will help him a little bit, just like Bateman's helping Jackson.
I think the common headline is going to be Elijah Moore disappoints with Zach Wilson return. I think that's going to be the common headline. Oh, sure. I think there's more positive things to glean from this, like how he was targeted. The targets weren't great. But how he was targeted, his role in the offense, and there's a lot. I think I'd rather glean that part because how good he actually is than just say like, oh, Zach Wilson, he's going to suck with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I agree.
No way.
I wasn't ready, but I love it.
Rookie fever trivia. How many NFL wide receivers have had more targets than Jalen Waddle this year?
Six.
I'll say nine.
Finero, did you look this up?
No, I've been tracking his targets all season long. I knew I'm going to be close within two or three.
How many of the six can you name?
Is Keenan still up there? Probably.
Yep, Keenan.
Deontay Johnson.
Deontay is sixth in targets.
Oh, that's probably Hill.
Tyreek is first in targets.
So I got three out of the six.
Yep,
it's not bad. Was I right, by the way?
Yeah, and then Devontae Adams and DJ Moore.
Oh, of course.
And Cooper Kupp, sorry. Cooper Kupp is actually the one. I said
Adams
Tyreek
and Kupp should have been said first, for God's sake.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, nailed it. That's another right on the button. Not bad at this rookie.
You're doing really good. I'm a little bit worried if we do predictions for week 13 that Feverish is going to come out on top.
I wouldn't worry too hard. I see. I suck at that game.
So I don't completely suck at segues because I was really needed to talk about Jalen Waddle tonight. So we had to have a Jalen Waddle question.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about targets. Dave, I know you've been watching this. I don't even want to say the rookie fever voice of Jamar Chase, but maybe the generation's voice for Jamar Chase. Is that?
No, I don't think that's fair at all.
I don't know. I like it. I don't know if that Twitter handle is available, but you should get it before this comes out. Like, generational. I don't know. How could we? We'll need to shorten that up a little bit.
You talk about 3 for 3, Jamar Chase?
Right? 3 for 3, Jamar Chase.
A 100% catch rate.
So, but over the last, like, 4 weeks, so since Tua and Waddle were back from the bye week. So week 9, 10, 11, 12. And then week 10, we have Jamar Chase on a bye week, so we can take that out if we want. But even then, like week 9, you have Waddle with 8 receptions on 10 targets. Chase has 6 or 7 receptions, but he had 13 targets that week. But that was the last time he was targeted like that. Then you would think that I think we even thought, like, Jamar Chase coming out of the bye week, like, hell yeah, I want that. He's targeted 6 times, only brings in 3, 13.5 points to Waddle's 22.85 on 10 targets, 8 receptions. Over that whole complete time, Waddle's been targeted 30 times, and this is without that bye week. We're taking out Waddle's bye week, or should I say Jamar Chase's bye week. We're taking out Waddle that week. But 30 targets versus 22, but he's brought in 25 of them versus Jamar Chase's 12.
Week 5 or week 7? Sorry.
Week 9, 10. Well, this is week 9, 11, and 12. Week 9, 11, and 12. 285 yards for Waddle in those 3 weeks and 120 for Ja'Marr Chase. More than double the yards. Almost triple the receptions. The fantasy points aren't even close.
Now let's do the air yards now. Let's do, like, you know, the value of those targets.
I was wondering what you were looking up over there.
And
was it fantasy points?
No. Let's look at percentage of the offense and all the stuff that, you know, there's ebbs and flows in the season because we were we weren't doing this with Ja'Marr Chase's. Let's go game by game. Ja'Marr Chase's for Jalen Waddle's targets the first couple of weeks when Ja'Marr Chase was king.
Well, the targets were still there for Waddle, though. It just wasn't as pretty. Like, Waddle's been targeted, heavily all year to be seventh in targets in the NFL. That didn't happen in 1 week.
I agree. I think it's unfair. I don't want to make this a Jalen Waddle versus Ja'Marr Chase. I think we should just be freaking happy about freaking Jalen Waddle having over 100 freaking receiving yards, to be honest.
Absolutely.
We mentioned it last week. I was a lot more positive on Jalen Waddle last week or the week before because he had some big plays, some exciting things to see. We liked the volume. I said that. And this week, what we saw from Jalen Waddle is what people had been – not necessarily you, Swags, because I think you've been just really liking his volume in general. But the people who liked Jalen Waddle beforehand talking about his explosiveness, his ability to beat people with speed and do all of these things. I don't think we'd seen what was advertised of this huge playmaker that could just score at any moment that was talked about at Alabama. We saw that last week, and we've also seen Tua, who's starting to put in back-to-back good weeks, over 80% completion percentage last 2 weeks, which is also very exciting to see. So I think that's what I'm excited about, is that it hasn't been – like, if you want to go through and look at his receiving yards for how many targets he's had, it hasn't been sexy. Like 60 receiving yards, 80 receiving yards on like 12, 14 targets. Like pretty inefficient. But what he did last week, that is the stamp that gets that's the crown, the laurel in the crown or whatever, some kind of cool nerdy phrase you want to put out there of what makes exciting about Jalen Waddle. That's what excites me about Jalen Waddle.
And a wide receiver won 33% of games played. That's not too shabby for a rookie.
Waddle can puff his chest and walk up to Ja'Marr Chase when he gets his first 200-yard game like Chase did in Week 7.
And I'm with you guys. I don't want to make this into a Ja'Marr Chase versus Waddle type thing. And that was all cool and everything when Ja'Marr Chase did that. But, I've honestly almost forgotten about it. And not literally. I remember it. I was here when we talked about it. And we were patting Dave on the back for it. But, Jalen Waddle's wide receiver 11 at this point. And honestly, he's never had 14 targets, Dave. He's been targeted. He's had 13 targets twice. And he caught 12 of them 1 week and 10 of them the other week. And, he only had 70 yards, to your point, the 1 week. And then the other one, he had 58. Yep. But
Chase was really living off of those touchdowns and continues to as well. Like, he has 8 touchdowns on the season, 906 yards on the season. And to your point, a big chunk of those happened. A lot of that action happened, weeks 1 through 7. So he's had 4 cold weeks with a bye. And in those cold weeks, he's still had 2 touchdowns in that time period.
Yes. So, 2 massive fantasy weeks. Chase says
2 massive ones with a third one with a touchdown and 101 yards that you're not calling massive.
And now I am not giving you Ja'Marr Chase for Waddle, Dave. I'm not saying that, to be clear. But man, good. I think
that's why I didn't think you were doing that either. But
I think it's closer than people want it to be as far as the fantasy production could foreseeably be. The value is going to maintain with Chase for a while because of how people talk, which is a silly way. You don't build your teams just around the ways people talk. But, man, I'm not going out of my way to add to Jalen Waddle to go to get Ja'Marr Chase either. I'm really happy with Waddle. I almost have to still give you 2 Jalen Waddles to go get Ja'Marr Chase, and I don't want to do that.
I don't think you can do it after this week. But beforehand, you definitely could.
Yeah. I mean, you think you could do that trade straight up? Go trade Jalen Waddle for Ja'Marr Chase?
No, but I'm just saying you could have probably taken a copy of Jalen Waddle and Jalen Waddle and to get Ja'Marr Chase. Now you can't because of what he just did this week. It's going to take Jalen Waddle and maybe another like piece, but not another Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
But Ja'Marr Chase is more PPR points.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase has more points on the season, but not through these last three games played.
Yeah, yes, definitely a good
season. Waddle's had a nice stretch, yep.
Actually, a good season. Let's be honest. A good season. Not just a good season.
He's got the rest of the way, he's looking pretty, too. He's got the Giants, the Jets, the Saints, and the Titans. And when you think about the Saints and the Titans, they're a better run D than a pass D. The Saints have been beaten up pretty nice. Jets suck all around. He should finish nice as well. There's no doubt.
And I understand why Swags is kind of presenting it this way. Because in the offseason, people, including myself, but even more vocal people, were Jalen Waddle early second round of rookie drafts, Superflex rookie drafts. You could get him in the early second round in some drafts. Not all drafts, but some. The people who are a little bit more analytically, whatever. He was not as high on people's analytical scales as maybe some people who did different processes. And that's what makes it so exciting is that you could have gotten Jalen Waddle for so much cheaper as a rookie than what Ja'Marr Chase is, but you're seeing almost similar production. That's what makes it so exciting. What makes Waddle so great is that, you know, I wasn't a fan of him and a lot of people weren't, and his value was commensurate with that. And people who did invest in him and believed in him and took that discount, it's been a huge benefit to their fantasy teams and value accrued, their dynasty teams, and also in their week to week point matchup. So I think that's what's really exciting too.
Yeah, a lot of fantasy contenders probably own him if they had their first round draft pick and picking late.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, with that said, fantasy contention, and if a fantasy contender does have Waddle, I believe that bye week is coming up during playoffs here.
Yeah.
That will be an opportunity for people out of contention to make a strong offer if you really want Waddle. So I'm not saying you go try to be cheap to those people, but man, if they're leaning on Waddle hard and you want him, like, maybe it's time to move on from a DeAndre Hopkins type player or something like that. There could be a weird little buy window for Waddle if you take advantage of that bye week just right.
That's a good point.
Or use existing NFL players instead of just looking at from a rookie perspective. There's like a trade down, like a Devontae down to Waddle. Like there's ways to go about going to get Waddle that could be exciting too. Instead of just looking from a rookie lens, like look at some players who probably ranked ahead of him, like a Devontae. I think a Devontae Adams down to Waddle might be a really smart play that can be done probably pretty easily.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm ready to move Devontae Adams for Waddle.
I'm not saying like straight up, but I'm saying like get whatever you get, Waddle plus, and do that package. Oh, and yeah, you probably still get good production.
That. Yeah. I would do that.
Yeah. Not yet. I think it might be a savvy move to try to, because we know what's going to happen to Devontae Adams' value in the offseason if Rodgers leaves and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I would make that move with almost any aging wide receiver shit. I would do it with Metcalf because I think Metcalf still is going to hold enough value to where you could go get Waddle plus for DK Metcalf. But
sometimes I think we get so like uber rookie oriented that, you know, look at the forest, because there's definitely ways to go take advantage of, you know, no one's trading down from it. No one wants to trade away Ja'Marr Chase right now, but for Waddle or anything, you know, vice versa or whatever. But that being said, before we move on from Ja'Marr Chase or whatever, I want to say to everyone who just said that Ja'Marr Chase was just going to eat, a little rookie rewind here, was just going to eat T. Higgins lunch all season and blah, blah, blah. T. Higgins is a bum, not very good. There we go. There it is. Because that's what we were hearing. We were hearing.
Kind of slow.
I didn't give you enough time. Poor move on my part. That's why I'm not the host. That's why you're the smooth host.
If you were the host, you could have just tapped it, dude.
I would never step on your shoes. But anyway, except for maybe a random trivia that I'll never do again. But but there was a lot of T. Higgins hate saying that, oh, he's not. I'm not saying that T. Higgins is as good as Ja'Marr Chase or any of that stuff. I'm just saying T. Higgins weak. That's why target share matters. Look what happens. Little TD regression. And magic happens. Wide receiver two in PPR, baby.
Well, to your point with T. Higgins, just talking about the Cincinnati offense, this bouncing off the chase discussion is basically Cincinnati's like, okay, you know, we'll play the chase game until we can. And now people have caught up to Chase and they're using Mixon and Higgins. So it's going to open up for Chase again. Like this is a potentially very powerful offense. Their offensive line is holding up enough. They're going to have an off season to reassure that. And it's exciting for that team. If you're a fan of that team. So you're going to see this kind of ebb and flow, I think, because you can't just cover Chase anymore. You can't let Joe Mixon just run all over you, and you certainly can't let T. Higgins just mosh you in the end zone. These are really powerful pieces, and Joe Burrow is looking fantastic, and all of their futures look bright. So, you know, Higgins is going to have his days, and he's also going to have his down days because Chase is there. But Chase is the number one wide receiver on this team.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. Tyler Boyd week incoming. He's almost that forgotten piece. And
he's a good third wide receiver.
Understandably so, you know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. This team is absolutely loaded, pretty young and exciting to watch. And yeah, they seem like they're ready to switch to the run game at any time, like you said, to go to Mixon like never before. So, but that's, I mean, we talked a little bit about this last week too. Like I still think something just doesn't look completely right with Joe Burrow, whether it's confidence or I don't know what's going on. I expected to see it shine a little bit more after the bye week. I was putting in a lot of offers for Joe Burrow that weren't accepted. That at this point, I'm actually glad they weren't.
I think it's a volume thing. The volume hasn't come yet. Like the high volume passing games, because Mixon's been so good and they've been able to stay balanced. I think that's what's really holding Joe Burrow back. But I really think this team's going to continue to get better. It's a young team, and this is a team that mm-hmm. should grow down the stretch.
I agree with that. We'll have to see. I mean, he's had some games where he's still throwing the ball 30, 40 times.
Oh, for sure. But you know, he's not doing like Mahomes S type number. Like, you know, he's just not getting that kind of volume. Like the Mahomes, like D gap, like we're going to give Joe Burrow the ball to win the game. It's still a steady dose of Mixon every week.
Yeah.
I know that's not what you were saying, but,
No, I hear you though. I hear you. It's all relative. So are we going to do Kyle Pitts versus Pat Freiermuth?
We can certainly talk about it. I don't know if the versus is necessary, but
it puts a nice condensation on it, though.
Well, was Pat Freiermuth a steal in rookie drafts at this point and pushed was he pushed way too far because of rookie hype on Pitts? Yes,
way too far.
Is he perhaps TD dependent with an average of less than four catches a game for the season, but five touchdowns in his last five games? Perhaps. Better than Kyle Pitts? No. Because Kyle Pitts is a wide receiver, let's face it. Freiermuth is doing something pretty special, and that should not be understated or overlooked. To date, he has 40 catches, 327 yards, and six touchdowns. When we compare that to Evan Ingram's amazing rookie season in 2017, he already has as many touchdowns with five games left. But a long way to go in the yards, where Evan Ingram had 722 yards and 64 catches. I think he can get the 64 catches because he's at 40 right now. But I think he's going to have a really hard time getting to that 722. But we're also comparing him, or I am, to one of the best tight end rookie seasons in the last 10 years. So, there's a lot to be excited about here. But no, I do not think he's better than Kyle Pitts.
And I know, like, for the versus argument, like those touchdowns that you said maybe he's been dependent on are important.
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, man, you still look at it and like you said those 40 catches, but 22 of those have came in the last 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And in those 5 weeks, like week eight, I mean, he was targeted seven times versus Kyle Pitts, six. He brought in four of them versus Kyle Pitts' two. Then week nine, Kyle Pitts targeted seven times, Freiermuth six. Freiermuth brought in five, Kyle Pitts three. Week 10, Freiermuth's targeted nine times to Kyle Pitts seven. He brings in five versus Kyle Pitts four. Week 10, or week 11 now, Freiermuth's targeted 7 times, brings in 4. Kyle Pritz targeted 5 times, brings in 3. Week 12, 4 for 4, Freiermuth versus 6 targets for Kyle Pitts, brings in 2. 22 receptions on 33 targets over that time versus the 31 that Kyle Pitts has had and only brought in 14. And Kyle Pitts, by all means, to your point of being the better physical specimen, is taking on a lot of coverage, but targeted 2 less times, but he's brought in 8 less of them. And then, like you said, those touchdowns. There's no touchdowns for Kyle Pitts.
Two big players were lost off of each team, one each, and they have conversely hurt or helped the other. Calvin Ridley, leaving for personal mental health reasons, has put Kyle Pitts in a deficit. There's a really easy way to knock Kyle Pitts out of a game because he's the only really bona fide wide receiver on that team. Or conversely, in Pittsburgh, they still have Deontay Johnson, and with Juju leaving, Pat Freiermuth's targets go up, taking that slot role. So it's funny, but a wide receiver loss from both teams have helped or hurt the opposite side, and they both make sense.
Is to Matt me. Ryan cooked?
I mean, I thought that going in, and I think Atlanta thinks that going in. There was a lot of talk about Atlanta looking at a Trey Lance or something like that in the draft instead of a Kyle Pitts. And I wonder if they go back and wonder about that, because this is not going to be a good QB class coming into this season. And, you know, it could be a drought. That was my Kyle Pitts concern, you know, long term. I didn't have a concern about the player. I had a concern about the quarterback. I have a concern about a couple different of these players. We talked about Jalen Hurts earlier because of the lack of stability at the quarterback position. And Matt Ryan's at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I mentioned the Justin Jefferson concern with Kirk Cousins. I don't know if he's there next, or he will be there next season. I'm talking about the one after that, you know, when you're splitting hairs, you know, asking me just 3 or 4 weeks ago to pick Chase or Justin Jefferson,
sure.
Things like that. The quarterback is everything. You know, sometimes even an aging quarterback like Ben helps Pat Freiermuth. You know,
Pitts, though, I almost looked at it as a good thing that maybe Matt Ryan won't be there. And right. How could it get any worse?
Yeah.
A couple of things, gentlemen. There was a lot there that was really actually just like listening you go back and forth there, so I didn't want to interrupt. But and I actually want to check little things. So Freiermuth, this is it, because we're talking Freiermuth, Kyle Pitts, and I bring this up every week with Kyle Pitts whenever we talk about him. Kyle Pitts, 28% of his actual routes are run in line, like as a tight end, 28%. Actually, I think that might have actually gone up than what it was at one point. Now, Freiermuth, 69%. He's actually a tight end. Mm-hmm. Now, Kyle Pitts would be the wide receiver 38 in PPR. If he was actually classified as a wide receiver, Pitts would actually be the wide receiver 43, which is just kind of crazy. What he's doing as a tight end, it's just like a little fun. I like kind of just kind of fun little game here. And I did that really quickly looking at some using my fingers almost. So.
Freiermuth is second in the entire league in the red zone with 16 red zone targets, second in the league with red zone receptions, and second in touchdowns with 6, only behind Hunter Henry. This is a rookie tight end. He's second in all 3 of those categories, and they're all related to scoring.
Yeah, we're seeing like a, you know, I think I mentioned last week about how Kyle Pitts is having the tight end 3 or tight end 4 week through whatever it was now. Well, that I'm doing rough math because I haven't checked this out now since 2009, but I think that makes Kyle or Pat Freiermuth is like the tight end 5 best seasons since 2009 for tight ends. So that's for a rookie. That's pretty exciting. Very exciting. And you're doing it from a guy who was significantly cheaper. You probably could have paid 10 we're doing the copy game, 10 copies of Freiermuth. Might not even have gotten you Kyle Pitts just because right. You don't have the roster.
Not button. At all, like, yeah.
It's just insane to think about.
I think I got Freiermuth at 2.9 in a Superflex draft.
I looked at some draft boards when he went in the 3rd.
Yeah.
So it's interesting too, Finero. You played the wide receiver game where they lost wide receivers and how it helped one of them and hurt the other. Yep. And you could even like argue going forward their future that a new quarterback might hurt Freiermuth, but it might help Kyle Pitts at this point.
Yes.
So that even might end up flip flopping a different direction in the very near future here, with both those quarterbacks seem out of the league at this point. You know, Ben's obviously playing a little bit better sometimes, but yeah. So, and no, I wouldn't give Freiermuth for Kyle Pitts. I just think it's interesting when you look at the numbers and versus the expectations going into the season for Kyle Pitts.
But I still like Friermuth a lot. Like, I want more Friermuth in my life. I don't quite want to pay what you have to pay today.
Yeah, the time to get him was in rookie drafts, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I think we kind of – I know we all were very excited about Kyle Pitts and thought he was very good. And I know, Swags, you were really into him. But usually, in general, I think on the show, we like to preach how third rounds a great in Superflex is a great way to target these lesser-valued tight ends. And that's kind of what Freiermuth was. It was a little bit more expensive maybe than some tight ends that have hit, like, rookie – but that's what's that's a fun way to play the tight end, in my opinion, in Superflex, is to target them in that third-round Superflex or late second if they're as good as part. Freiermuth was so and then too, going back to is Matt Ryan cooked, I don't think he can carry an offense or carry a team. Like, in his history, those Atlanta teams did not have, I mean, they had some good wide receivers, but Matt Ryan and that offense carried the entire team. I don't think Matt Ryan can do that anymore. Now, it's been a bad 3 weeks for Matt Ryan. But before that, he had like 14 big time throws, which is a really good metric to say, like, hey, are you making high quality throws? 14 big time throws over the previous five games, from weeks 4 to 10. So he was doing it and was playing quarterback pretty decent. And he actually had a decent run fantasy wise too, as well. But the last 3 weeks has been pretty miserable across the board. I mean, he hasn't three games. He scored less than 15 fantasy points combined. So I think maybe in a different situation, like say if he ended up in Denver, I think that's something that'd be more, I think he could survive in a Denver and he could be functional in a Denver or something like that.
Yeah. It can't get any worse than Denver. And all those weapons would welcome, Matt Ryan too.
Man, I love these topics tonight. Swags. Whew, whew.
It's all you, Dave. Bring in the heat. So, and Dave, that's why. So I felt like we should probably, I was actually going to say something.
Yeah,
we should probably do predictions tonight.
I mean, if we're going to roll to predictions soon, I mean, I think we got to talk about Elijah Mitchell a little bit, just a little.
How many rookies? It's time for Rookie Fever trivia.
There it is.
How many rookies have 5 touchdowns or more this point in the season? 5 touchdowns or more.
12.
I'm going to say 9.
9. Lofty numbers. The answer is 5.
What?
The leader of the pack is Ja'Marr Chase with 8. And then Najee has 7. Freiermuth 6. Waddle 5. And Elijah Moore 5 as well. You got to remember, A.J. Brown ended the season with 8. I think last year's rookie leader had 11 or 12. I'm guessing it was Claypool.
I had Devonta Smith with 5, and he only has 4.
Elijah Mitchell has 4, who you'd like to talk about.
I thought he had.
Every quarterback has more than 5.
You know who doesn't have 5? Javonta Williams. That's it. No, I'm just sorry.
It is what it is.
Yeah, no.
What were the 5?
Ja'Marr Chase has 8. Najee Harris has 7. Freiermuth has 6. Waddle has 5. And Elijah Moore has 5.
Wow. Well, yeah. 12 was an insanely bad answer.
It was pretty lofty. Yeah. You really like these guys a lot, is what you just told me.
I did tell you pre-show that my pants are off.
That's true, too.
So, yeah, that's my line.
Well, I just let you know that I'm joining the party.
Running back 3, Elijah Mitchell. 35.5 points, 27 attempts, 133 yards, 1 touchdown, 5 receptions, 6 targets for another 35 yards on the week. 168 yards on the week for Elijah Mitchell. By all means, a lot of weeks he would have been RB1 throughout the season, but he was RB3 this week with 35.5 points.
I remember halfway through the season, I was joking around about how, you know, the guy has like 4 targets like on the season. They were not used in the passing game whatsoever. And in week 9, when healthy, and now here in week 12, he had 5 receptions in each of those games. If they're going to start using him in that way as well, I mean, he's locked in as an RB1. I mean, he's got to be. He's 168 yards this week. Clearly the only running back they want to use in what's usually known as a committee over there. Trey Sermon, who he was banged up with rib injuries, a broken finger. People were concerned that he wasn't going to be out there enough. Injuries didn't seem to impact him at all with 168 yards total.
Easily or how they used Trey Sermon.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a huge game. Continuing to show promise. I'm starting to change my tune about a 1 year wonder with this guy.
I mean, yeah, you talk about the values we have today on Waddle, which was nothing compared to Elijah Mitchell. Same with Freiermuth, nothing compared to Elijah Mitchell and what he's currently doing. Fener, you sound in on 2022.
I feel like he's earned it. I feel like, I don't know what the coaching staff knew or saw in the offseason when he hurdled everybody except Mostert. And Mostert honestly could have been one of those, you know, you're the vet, you know, you're gonna start off and we're gonna give you the ball. And his history, they probably knew that wasn't gonna be for long. But yeah, I feel like I have to at this point. It's kind of like it has a James Robinson feel to it, not only because he was undrafted, but just because what he's doing and capitalizing in a major way. In key situations and helping this team, that it has to earn him a nod for next season. It just feels right.
What was crazy too is that, you know, Fenero touched on a little bit, but he had 9 targets on the season heading into week 5. He almost doubled it with, you know, almost doubled it with 6 targets. Not quite, but like 66% of the season targets, you know, that's insane. That if he can add that to his repertoire, it's huge, because he didn't have a huge receiving profile in college. I think he might have touched 20 receptions one time, which is kind of like the low bar that you need to like really to see it in to carry over to the pros. But if he can show that consistently, that puts him, honestly, I'm not saying he's in like a Najee tier, but like that makes him a name to remember going forward for this class of running backs, because we haven't had it. Like, because we've lost everyone at this. We lost Travis Etienne. Javonta Williams has not gotten the role yet, but if we can get a rookie running back up there with Najee, and that's Elijah Mitchell and Michael Carter a little bit too, but that's something we get excited about, because it hasn't been the running back class. Swaggs has touched on a couple times here, but you add Elijah Mitchell in, and then it's like, okay.
Is Debo going to miss a week or two here too? I mean, Debo vultured
two to four, maybe.
Yeah, Debo vultured 2 of its touchdowns last week. I mean, Debo's been fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I don't want him hurt or gone. I don't think San Francisco wants him hurt or gone. But there's 168 yards and a touchdown we're talking about in this game. And I'm just arguing there's more upside while Debo's gone for the 2 to 4 weeks. I think Ayuk fills the role at wide receiver. Ayuk's definitely coming back.
Yeah, I don't think they can give the dude much more than 27 attempts, though. I mean,
no, but the red zone carries.
Sure.
The red zone carries. You know, those red zone carries are key.
Do you guys think moving forward, will Trey Lance affect Elijah Mitchell?
That's going to happen at some point. Yeah, I think it absolutely will. Not in a great way.
He is a little bit different from a typical rushing quarterback, though, because he reads defenses. He's got a little bit higher, like he's been billed as someone who ran a pro-style offense in college. So when he can make that check down. Now,
I mean, we didn't see that in the starts we had. I mean, what I say, I saw that in college, but we haven't seen that in the NFL field yet.
In a lower class, you know, a lower
it could division. Take a bit for that to happen is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and even he's still going to be more likely to carry it, to carry the ball versus dump it off to the back. But I think he's more likely to dump it off than other rushing quarterbacks. I'll just say that.
Sure.
Very, very. This situation probably isn't occurring in many areas, but I want to know how you guys feel about this. So you are out of contention, and you have Derrick Henry. No, you have Elijah Mitchell. You're out of contention and you have Elijah Mitchell. The contender had Derrick Henry. Would you prefer your team that's out of contention? You're in seventh, eighth place. You're not the worst team. Would you rather have Derrick Henry in 2022 or Elijah Mitchell in 2022?
I'll Derrick Henry that. You're talking to a spaceman who's like so ready to get rid of anybody who turns 25 and a half at the running back position. So that's it's going to be tough.
Dave tells us we're old every damn show.
It's going to be tough for him to go ahead and I'm just going to argue that like an eighth place team can go from eighth to fourth with Derrick Henry.
Yeah. I think for me, and it's too, I don't think we've seen Elijah Mitchell carry the value that rookie running back, like, he's not carrying Najee Harris. I'm not saying he should, mind you, but he's not carrying, he's not even carrying Javonte Williams type value, even though he's having a thousand better rookie season than Javonte Williams is having, a thousand times better rookie season is having. So, I think that the tough part is, I will say it, but I want whatever I can get for Derrick Henry plus. I want Elijah Mitchell plus for Derrick Henry. I don't want to do that trade straight up.
It's not an option.
I know, but so I'll take Derrick Henry if we're just picking one and the other, I'll take Derrick Henry. But if in reality I can get plus, and I want the plus.
If you're taking on the Elijah Mitchell side, yeah, if you're the contender,
yeah, I want plus.
Gotcha.
In any deal, it doesn't even matter if like any deal that I'm trading away Derrick Henry for Elijah Mitchell, I want more than just Elijah Mitchell.
I would too. I'm not as high on the idea of Elijah. I think we just saw a ceiling week from Elijah Mitchell, most likely here.
I mean, 35 points, fantasy point. I mean,
that's a lot for anybody, really. But I agree with both of you. I would rather have Derrick Henry as well in that situation. And I had a similar situation to that where James Robinson was offered to me for my Derrick Henry was offered to me for my James Robinson, and I hit accept and took Derrick Henry really quickly.
I like that.
But that's what I did. Oh, one more rookie fever trivia.
12.
I'm going to change it up a little bit on you guys here. In a high-stress emergency situation, let's say somebody broke their leg or maybe you're choking. You're calling 911 and you're freaking out. Everybody's freaking out. How much hearing does the average human obtain during this high stress moment?
Compared to without the stress?
Right. Yep.
So you're looking for a percentage?
A percentage of the average human, not like two exceptional individuals like yourselves. You guys put that average up a little bit. But how much of your hearing remains on average human in that high stress situation?
25%.
I would guess 50%.
The correct answer for Nero is 30. The rest of it is maybe just like fuzzy and white noises and like, but 30% of that hearing is obtained by the average human being.
That's very interesting.
I thought that was kind of interesting too. I know it doesn't quite fit our typical rookie fever trivia, but we brought it here.
Oh, you know, adrenaline's flowing, just like when you get a big time rookie trade in the inbox. So your adrenaline's going, and you got to remember, you got to take some deep breaths.
That's why I don't hear anything you guys say.
I got a trade for you guys. You ready? Superflex, Dak Prescott, or Mac Jones, Calvin Ridley, and an early second.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, right?
I wish it was somebody besides Ridley. It could be almost anybody besides Ridley right there. And I'd say take Mac.
Deontay attack. Johnson.
It all comes down to like the risk is all on the Ridley side.
Just yeah.
Because without
can the that Ridley, be somebody else? Is there?
No, that's in my inbox. Figured I'd throw it your guys' way. I thought it was an easy decline. He's been trying to get Dak off me for a while because he gave me Dak last year and I gave him Jared Goff.
Are people afraid to say that Dak doesn't look that good? Because I'm not.
Are people what?
Afraid to say that Dak doesn't look that good.
No, they're just blaming the injuries. And the lack of wide receivers.
The lack of wide receivers.
Yeah, they've been injured.
Cooper hasn't played. Look at Mac Jones's wide receivers.
Hey, don't hate on wide receiver 24 and PPR Kendrick Bourne, baby. Don't hate on him.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, like, Dak doesn't look that good.
I asked that specifically because I believe, Swags, you've been trying to pull some Mac Jones off a few teams.
I'm assuming you're out of contention.
Correct.
And he wants a Dak. I think it's a great opportunity to sell during the playoffs. If you can get Mac Jones as the future quarterback there, we all know that. And
it's got to switch that Calvin Ridley piece out for something.
Yeah, man. If he has even, like, if you can change that to picks or if you can, like, first, not a second. Even to the 2023 or a different wide receiver that doesn't seem useful to him right now that he might do that with. Calvin Ridley is too much of a chunk of that value, though, for me, to be honest with you.
Fair enough.
You're taking on so much risk there. But, man, I want Mac Jones, man. If he's biting on that or he's trying to get you to bite, I'm really interested. I'm going to say that nobody ever leads with their best offer.
Yep.
There's something else he'll do. You just have to try to find what it is without going too extreme.
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of wide receiver depth, but there's some Mike Williams. Yeah, doesn't have a lot of depth. He just recently traded for depth, so Calvin Ridley's an easy get rid of for him.
Yeah.
Not using him this season, worried about him next season, so it makes a lot of sense for him. I don't think it makes sense for me.
Instead of a second?
If
you can get a first there, I'm in.
It would have to be... Nope, he doesn't have a 23 or a 22 first.
Hmm.
Yep. So can't get a first. He's got James Robinson if I want to go the running back route.
Dave, I'm going to put a ton of pressure on you, Dave. Would you rather do week 13 predictions
or thoughts? Giving him format decisions.
So I do the final thought?
I don't know.
I think you just make the decision.
I'd say final thought.
Final thoughts it is. Who's doing the final thoughts?
It's got to be my turn. It's been like a while. And mine's short and sweet, so maybe you could do both.
Mine's not.
Oh, you also have final thoughts? Let's do double final thoughts.
I don't have to go. Mine's maybe too much.
Is it a little deep?
But
is it a little deep? Is it going to make us depressed?
I'll do anything.
Are you going to depress us with
your
guys'
both pants sounds?
I hope it's about that drive to Michigan. Or, you know, that Thanksgiving drive.
I definitely want to hear more about that drive.
It wasn't bad.
I heard it was wonderful.
Fanero, what are your final thoughts?
Just six words. Six very important words that everyone should remind themselves. I have to remind myself to do this every single day. Stop saying negative shit to yourself. We do it. We all do it. I'm looking right now at us on StreamYard, and I'm picking out stuff I don't like about what I see. I pick out every single day about stuff that I don't like that I did, that I might do. I'm very, very uber critical of myself, and just stop saying negative shit about yourself. You will be a happier person. Always hold yourself to a high standard. Don't get me wrong, but there's stuff that you can't change and there's stuff that you shouldn't even want to change. Love yourself. Stop saying negative shit.
I love it. I love it. I'm the same way, dude. Not to even like take away from that. I'm way harder on me than anybody else. If I was going to be uber critical of you right now, and I feel kind of bad when after you say you're so hard on yourself, but you are shitty at counting. That was way more than six words.
Stop saying negative shit to yourself.
Oh, and then.
I expanded. Yes. I decided to not go out on six words and drop the mic.
I liked it. I love that, though.
The way you said stop, I was like, drop and roll is four.
I was going to be like, collaborate and listen.
I'm definitely going to try one of those next time.
I didn't know. Yeah, I like it, though, man. And it's sometimes so hard to do.
It is. You'd be surprised how often you do it. If you just think about that, honestly, it's helpful. You do it way more than you think you do. And those criticisms hit deeper than anyone else saying something about you. They just do because you believe them 100%. Where somebody else says something, you could kind of roll it off as they're joking or they had a bad day or whatever. But when you hear from yourself inside your head, it's just cuts deep and you just don't realize you're cutting yourself deep every single day in a lot of different ways. And it's not healthy.
I mean, really, one way to look at it too is, if it's not okay to say to somebody else, it's not okay to say to yourself.
Right.
Really. I mean, and even to add to that, and I hope this doesn't take away, but kind of, I think it's the same area of life is everybody's not always against you. And sometimes it feels that way, or for some reason, it's just like built in. I have
just on rookie fever
personally. Dave's like, no, just on Wednesday night, Monday last week. Hint, hint. But no, I love that. And I am at Swagzilla0G. He is at ArtBarkTV. He is at FF underscore Spaceman. And we are Rookie Fever. And we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone's size must be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.